A recorder, joined.
Dave Anderson.
Joined.
Mark Taylor.
Joined.
Stacy.
Joined.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hi, Stacy.
Hi, Stacy. Just to
and
let
Dave
everybody know,
and Mark.
We're on record.
Thank you, Gil. Well, good evening, everybody. It's 5:30. I'm going to welcome everyone and hope that you're all doing well. I'll be chairing the meeting tonight. It's Dawn, and I'm going to be doing a roll call to start to make sure that we have a quorum to start the meeting. Sounds like we still have people coming in. I'll give it one more minute, and I'll do a roll call to see if we have a quorum.
Joined.
For those just coming in, I'm just giving it another minute to see if we have a few more trustees joining us. We do have quorum, but just for the flow of the meeting, I'll wait 1 minute more. Okay, and as we're waiting, I'm just going to encourage people to have the agenda open in front of you as well as the PowerPoints that were sent just a few minutes ago. That will be helpful to guide us through the presentations. Okay, I'm going to get us started at 5:32. I'll start with a roll call to ensure we have quorum. I will be calling out each trustee's name. If you can reply yes that you're present, that would be great. Trustee Buck.
Here.
Denise?
Joined.
Just going to try that again. Trustee Buck.
I'm present.
Thank you. Trustee Galindo, I heard you come in, but if you can confirm.
Present.
Trustee Johnstone.
Present.
Trustee Tutt. Okay, hopefully Trustee Tutt can join later. And Trustee Miller, you are going to be joining us as a non-committee member.
Yes, I'm present. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other non-committee trustees present? Okay, hearing none there. I'll also just check the staff that we have present. So Associate Director Zucker.
I'm here. Hello, everyone.
Thank you. Senior Manager Anderson.
Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
Thank you. And we've got our Senior Manager of Business. I think I just heard Denise come in.
Yes, I'm here. Thanks.
Thank you. And we also have Gail, who's doing the recording, and Mark from Communications.
Yep, I'm here. Thanks.
Here.
Okay. Is there anyone I missed? Okay. Wonderful. So welcome, everyone. I hope you're doing well, staying at home when possible, staying safe. I'm just going to go over the meeting norms for this session. And again, if I can encourage you to open our finance and facilities report for the open session from your email, you'll notice there are some virtual meeting norms listed there. So if I can ask everyone to be on mute unless called upon to speak, that will help with the sound quality for everyone on the call. We've just done the roll call, so thank you for confirming that you're in attendance. We will do the same process, and I will call on trustees. I'll switch the order so that you each get a turn to go first when we're doing questions or comments and when we're commenting on a motion. When I call on you, if you have nothing to say, can you confirm that you have nothing to say, or you can ask your question or share your comment. I will also randomly be selecting committee members to move any action items. This does not mean you support the item, but it just moves it on the floor for discussion and then for a vote. And one other change that's quite different, to facilitate our time, we will do a negative vote process. So I will ask if anyone is opposed to an action item, and you can speak up if you're opposed. But if you are in favor, you can stay silent. Are there any questions? I'll just practice and go through the list. Trustee Buck, any questions?
Oh, sorry about that. no questions at this time.
Thank you. Trustee Galindo?
I have no questions either. Thank you.
Trustee Johnstone?
I'm good, thank you.
And Trustee Miller?
No questions. Thank you.
Thank you. And now everyone's practiced unmuting themselves to comment. So with that, I will call the meeting to order. We do have quorum. And again, thank you to Trustee Miller for joining us as a non-committee member. Trustee Miller, just also as a heads up, I will be inviting you to ask comments or provide comments or ask questions after I've allowed the committee members to go through their lineup. So don't worry, I'm not leaving you out, but you will be asked last each time. I'm looking for approval of the agenda, so I am going to have Trustee Buck move the agenda, and I would like to add an additional item to the agenda. We could call that 5.1, and just so that we have an opportunity to discuss our finance and facility meeting times, given the situation we find ourselves in. So with the agenda moved and with the addition of an item, I'll go to any comments or questions. Starting with you, Trustee Buck.
No questions at this time.
Trustee Galindo.
I don't have questions either. Thank you.
Trustee Johnstone.
I'm good. Thank you.
And Trustee Miller.
No questions. Thank you.
Okay. So for the move, the approval of the agenda moved by Trustee Buck, is anyone opposed? Okay. And so that carries. We will move on to item number three, school budget carry forward. And we'll turn over to Associate Director Zucker.
Thank you, Chair. And I'm just going to present the report and then the Thonsa, but anybody have any questions afterwards? So if you have the agenda pulled up in front of you, you'll see that the first report has an action item. And our recommended action is that the board approve the carry forward of all school budgets that are left over from 2019-20 to 2020-21. As trustees may recall, we usually come with this report in June, and it's usually maybe 5 to 10 schools where they're asking for a specific reason to carry forward some of their school budgets for that are over 10% of their total budget. So this is a little bit unusual, but as trustees know, we're in a little bit of an unusual situation. So as a result of the ministerial order, staff haven't been able to spend, the schools haven't been able to spend their budgets in the ways that they would have liked or were planning on spending them. And some schools have been contacting their SOSAs in trying to figure out how they could order the things that they need to order and get them delivered either to their home or to the school or to the ed center, because they're worried about not being able to order things through this year's school budget, which they planned, and that they wouldn't have any money left over to do it for next year because they already have a plan for it, or they would have a plan for that money. So in order to ease their minds, we are recommending that we allow the schools to carry forward any of their unspent budgets to next year. In that way, as soon as the order is lifted, we will start to be able to do the planned spending that they had, and they won't have to worry about their 2020-21 budgets. So that's the report. Denise has a little bit more information about sort of spending to date if trustees would like a little bit more information, but we're really hoping to be able to let the schools know this so that we can again, ease their mind.
Thank you, Associate Director Zucker. So I will turn to trustees for questions or comments. This is an action item, so for the sake of time, I'm going to ask Trustee Galindo to move this item. So it's on the floor, and we'll have an opportunity to ask your questions and get clarification. So I'm going to start this time with Trustee Galindo. Any questions or comments?
Thank you. I don't have any questions, but I'm happy to move the report.
Thank you. Trustee Johnstone.
I'm happy to support the report.
Thank you. Trustee Buck.
I'm also happy to support the report.
Trustee Miller.
I have no questions. Thank you.
Okay, so very well presented. Thank you for that. With that, we have an action item on the floor that we approve the carry forward of all school budgets that are left over from the 2019-20 to 2021 year. And with that, is anyone opposed? So that item carries. Thank you. Moving on to item number four, that is our 2020-2021 school-based staffing. Associate Director Zucker.
Thank you, Chair Danko. And first, trustees, take a quick look at the report. They're going to see that, again, this is an action item. This is an action item that comes forward at this time every year. The reason that we present this school-based staffing report so early is that some of our collective agreement have staffing timelines that are very early in the school year or in the process. So we're looking at our elementary and secondary teachers that have staffing timelines in mid to the end of April. So with that, we're recommending the school-based staffing for elementary teachers, secondary teachers, early childhood educators, educational assistants, principals, vice principals, school office administration, and school custodial staff, which you can see the numbers in the report, but we'll go into more detail with the presentation. So just to provide a little bit of background, again, we present this report every year. We always present it with a realistically conservative number based on the information we have at this time. We can always add after the collective agreement timelines, but we cannot take away. And trustees will recall, especially in last year's situation, we did start with a conservative number, and we were able to add back. This year will not be quite the same as last year, as we'll see through our budget discussions. But, again, we're still in the position where we're being realistically conservative, and then we'll be able to add if necessary. So now if I can refer trustees to the PowerPoint presentation that was sent, and this is the school-based staffing PowerPoint presentation. So I'll give everybody a second to pull it up. Okay, so I'm going to start slide number two, and again, this is just sort of a background there. It's approved every year at this time. As I said, it represents the staff that's allocated to schools only. So when we look at elementary teachers, it does not include any of the program staff or the staff that are allocated centrally for reading specialists in those types of positions. So it does not include any of the system allocated or system-based staffing. And the recommendations related to these will be discussed at later FNF meetings and approved as part of the final budget. So again, we're approving this today, and this will allow us to move forward with our staffing timelines. We'll have more discussions at later dates once we get more information. We may be in a position to add back staffing, and then through the final budget approval, we will be essentially approving this number again in final. So slide number three, again, it's just a note, and this note is very similar to last year's note. Unfortunately, we do not have the GSNs yet, so we are moving forward with this report without knowing our funding, which is 98% of our funding source. It's also, I guess, a double whammy because not all of the collective agreements for all of our employers are finalized. So in some of the ones that have been ratified, there are positions attached to the new collective agreement. And also for secondary in particular, there are class size implications, which we are awaiting. So again, we're being conservative. We're waiting for that information to come and for decisions that trustees have to make, and that this is the very first step in order to put in a position to make decisions that support strategic direction that we can always add, but we will not be able to take away after the collective agreement timelines. So we'll move to slide number four. And this just outlines the six different reasons that there could be a change in staffing. And this applies to all staffing, not just school-based. So some of them may not affect the report today, but you'll start to see the slide more and more when we talk about positions, that there may be six reasons for an increase or decrease. One of them is the investment in system priorities. And system priorities is what the new term is for local priorities. So if you remember, the last round of collective agreements had local priority funding, and we were able to add positions with that funding. Last year, with the uncertainty with the collective agreement, we had to remove those positions from our budget. And as the new collective agreements are being ratified or they're being finalized, the agreements that I've seen so far have funding for system priorities, basically the same as local priorities, and we are able to add additional staffing once the collective agreements are ratified. Currently, the only agreement that's been ratified is CUPE, so our caretaking and maintenance staff, but we do know that through the provincial EPFO negotiations that there are system priority money
for our elementary teachers as well. We just aren't locally ratified yet, so therefore we don't have that funding yet. There is also, again, uncertainty regarding our PPF funding, Partnerships and Priority Fund, and that's the formerly EPOs. So that's the additional monies that the ministry provides for certain initiatives that they have. So we usually receive that information at about the same time that we receive the GSN. In a lot of cases, there are positions attached to this PPF funding. When we don't know if the PPF funding will be continuing, then we cannot include those positions in the budget, and then we will include them once we receive confirmation of the funding, or we'll add them back once we receive confirmation of the funding. Excuse me. And the next reason would be school closures or openings. And so as we close schools, or as we consolidate, close schools, or we open new schools, there may be either position, there are positions that are specifically tied to opening and closing schools that will be funded. Changes in class size funding, as we know, this had a significant impact last year when we were moving, especially in secondary, to 28-1, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in the next slide. Changes in enrollment can affect funding, as obviously as enrollment increases, our number of classroom teachers that we require increases, and if there's a decrease, then there will be a corresponding decrease in classroom teachers. And then there are just other budget adjustments, so decisions that either we've made in the past and we're recommending, or decisions that trustees would make to support the strategic directions. So the next few slides go through each of these in detail and talk about the reasons that we do have changes in our staffing projections that we have moving forward. So when we look at the investment system priorities, again, we did reduce last year to the local priorities. We do have system priority funding that has been confirmed with QP, and those have been included in the budget. Once we ratify each collective agreement, then we will increase our staffing accordingly and reflect those in the budget. Again, from an overall budget perspective, this won't have an impact because the revenue will increase, and then the expenses related to the staffing will increase by the same amount. So in a total budget perspective, there won't be any decisions to make. It will be recommendations of what those staffing are for. And again, the collective agreements usually have committees that are formed between the board and the union to decide where those priorities lie. The next one is regards to uncertainty regarding to the PPF, and I won't go through again what that is for the extra money, but there are no PPF grants that impact school-based staffing. Most of the priorities and partnership funding comes through centrally, and therefore there's no impact on this report today. For school closures and openings, again, there are some positions that are tied specifically to the buildings, like caretaking or principals, school office administration, and so therefore you'll see increases and decreases accordingly. For the changes in class size funding, and this is an important one, and one of the assumptions that we had to make when we're presenting the staffing, is that sizes. In a memo that came from the province, we were directed to plan for budgeting at an average class size of 23-1. And then they did note, though, that school boards are meant to observe their legal obligations related to prior collective agreements. So boards like ours do have specific class sizes attached to specific classes, and therefore there may be some changes that are required once we have everybody slotted into their classes. Unfortunately, the combination of a number of things, including job action and then now the ministerial order, we are still finalizing all of the option sheets.
And
Stacey, you're cutting it. Yeah, so you can back up, Stacey, and just repeat that last statement.
Sure. So we're still finalizing option sheets for secondary. And so, and we haven't, even at this time in any normal year, we wouldn't have completed timetabling yet. So once the timetabling is completed, we may have to make some changes with regards to meeting the collective agreement staffing. But again, that would be an increase in staffing. That wouldn't be a decrease. So the conservative thing to do for the purposes of the timing is to staff at the 23-1. And again, we've done some of our best guesses and best modeling based on prior experience. And 23-1 and our collective agreement are pretty close. So we do feel that if there are any changes, that it wouldn't be significant. Am I coming through now okay?
Yes.
Great. For slide number 9, changes in enrollment, the good news for us this year is that we are projecting an elementary and a secondary increase in enrollment that results in increased elementary and secondary teachers. And there's also a projected increase in kindergarten enrollment, which would result in an increased number of DECEs. And then the slide number 10, other budget adjustments. Again, specialized services. So some of our students who are in self-contained specialized classes, they move between panels. And when we move between panels, that's a decrease in one group, the elementary teachers, and an increase in the secondary teachers. So in certain cases this year, there will be an impact there. We also, what we have done in the past and what our recommendation to do moving forward is to use, when we staff our offices in schools, so our school principals and the school office administration, there's a grant called the the school foundation grant, and that grant is calculated based on the enrollment at each school, and it actually comes out with a number. And in the past, we have balanced that funding amount to the actual amount that we spend in that area. So we have again done that this year, and that was one of the recommendations that you'll see here. And again, that aligns with our past practice and with the funding we receive for principals and for school office administration. And then the last would be, again, last year, trustees made the decision to use, because we were in place for research, in fact,
Stacey, you'll need a pause. You're just breaking up again.
Okay,
try again.
Okay, so the last thing is the reduction of the additional contingency. So last year, we made a decision to add back staffing in the secondary panel, in the elementary panel, in order to protect us against the uncertainty that we had with regards to the changes in class size and how that would affect program offerings. We have not included those in the current year budget. And then again, that would be a discussion that we would have at a later time, because we can add, we cannot take away. So if I move to slide 11, it's just a high level summary of the school based staffing budget for 2020-21 compared to the budget for 2019-20. And as you can see, overall, there's an increase of 44.75. And I'll go through in each of the slides the specific groups that you see there. So the first group on slide 12 are the elementary teachers. And as you can see, most of the teachers, well, most of the increase is a result of change in enrollment. That's 50.5. And then, again, specialized services, we have from our specialized service department, as well as moving staff, students moving from elementary to secondary school, that results in a decrease in specialized services of 9.6. And then the contingency that we added last year in elementary was an additional 4 teachers. And so we're not including them in the current year budget to start. The next slide are secondary teachers. So again, there's a slight increase in enrollment. Obviously, it's not as significant as the expected increase in enrollment in elementary, but looking at about 5 additional teachers. The class size, as you can see, there's not a significant change between the current year and the expected number of teachers that we require by moving to 23-1. We do have 4 additional teaching staff in the secondary panel as a result of the specialized services change. And then we did add 11 secondary teachers last year through the contingency in order to help us make sure that we could offer all programs and make sure that every opportunity was for keep as many classes open as possible. So again, our starting point this year is to reduce positions through the budget process. We can look at whether or not we need to add some positions. And we should get further direction through the GSN once they come in, and hopefully the central agreement will be finalized before the budget is due, and we'll have a better understanding of the impact of what's negotiated. Slide 14 is our DECEs. This one's pretty self-explanatory. There's an increase of 4 because of the projected enrollment increase in kindergarten. For our educational assistants, there's a decrease of 0.5. And again, the specialized service department would reduce 1.5 educational assistants and add 2 child and youth care workers to meet the needs of the students. That's part of the plan that Peggy had looked at. And we will look at specialized services as a budget in what it entails and the recommendations that the superintendent of specialized services is making at a later date. But again, this would be the starting point. And the EA timelines, so COPE timelines, are actually later than the teaching timeline, so we still have opportunities to make changes there. I will note that the local priorities amount, or the whatever they're calling it this time around, that we were able to, or we had to remove 23 EA positions last year. So if the funding is expected to be the same, that we know that we'll be in a position where we will be able to add back COPE positions, whether or not they be EAs or child and youth care workers. So we're hoping that that gets ratified sooner rather than later, like all of our agreements. And then principals and vice principals, we have no changes. We do have a reduction of 1 as a result of school closures, and that would be Rockton will be opening as a consolidation of Beverly and Seton. But then again, as I said, we do the calculation of the funding that we will receive, and then we allocate accordingly, and we are in a position to add back 1 vice principal. So there will be no change there as a result. And then school office administration, there would be a reduction of 3.5. We'd be adding 1 as a result of the school opening. So because it's a larger school, we actually would be adding. And then we would be reducing by 4.5 to align the expenditures with the ministry revenue allocation. And we can talk a little bit more about that one in camera. I think is the best place to discuss that piece. And the last, the last group is the school custodial. So again, because we're moving to larger buildings, whether it be Henderson, locked in, then there would actually be an increase as a result of the school opening. And you see this is the one employee group where we're actually able to add staff based on the system priorities funding. So we are adding 8 additional caretaking staff as a result of that funding. So slide 19, just the next steps. We are hoping to receive the funding through the GSN by the end of April. We do have to finalize our budget, our preliminary budget position to know where we are, whether or not we're in a position where we're able to add back some staffing. And then we would review with the exec council and bring the recommendations to this committee. So thank you. I know that's a lot of information to digest. And I'd be happy to answer, or Denise, for Denise to help answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Associate Director Zucker. So also thank you for guiding us through the assumptions that have to be made because we need to meet collective agreement timelines and approve our school-based staffing, but recognizing that there will be opportunities and we will likely be adding positions in certain cases, depending on funding from the ministry and the ratification of collective agreements. So thanks for guiding us through that. I will have Trustee Johnstone move the action item to approve the preliminary allocation of the full-time equivalent positions for school-based staffing for 2020-2021. And I will go through and provide trustees with an opportunity for comments or questions, starting with Trustee Johnstone.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Stacey, for the thorough report. I just want to take a moment to remind trustees, because there's some new folks around the table and anyone who may be listening in, is that this is a very long process and that the assumptions being built into our budget tonight are by no means the final decisions. It's doing the exact same process as we did last year, which is starting with a conservative, conservative budget, and then having the ability to add back in positions or move contingency funding at a later date once we have the whole picture in front of us, and that way we are able to make, systemic or system-wide decisions regarding our student needs. So just wanted to throw that in there. I did have one question. So with regards to the 23 class size average assumption being built in, and then, of course, with the caveat that local collective agreements also be adhered to, you'd made the point that we do not anticipate any significant changes. Was that comment with regards to that we could assume that we would be adding, not decreasing, in that area at a later date, and we do not believe that it would be a significant addition to that area, meaning that we wouldn't expect, significant domino changes throughout the system? Or can you provide more context to that? Thank you.
Director Zucker?
Thank you, Allison. And yes, that's what I was indicating, is that we have wrapped at 23-1. Based on our modeling, we could be anywhere between an additional 10 to 15 teachers. But again, we have to remember that we don't know exactly where students are ending up because of the option sheet process not being completed yet. So we're being conservative. We will definitely be in a position where we'd have to add. There would be no circumstance where we would have to take away. So, again, this is part of the conservative process.
Okay. Thank you.
Any follow-up?
My question. No, that was everything. Thank you.
Thank you, Trustee Johnstone. Next, we have Trustee Buck.
Thank you very much.
This is a lot. You're right, Stacey. But thank you so much. You always do such a great job of making what seems is so complicated just manageable for folks like myself. So I thank you for that gift that you have. I did wonder if I'm looking at just what the historical context is. So have we ever gotten this far before in our budget process where we don't have all of our collective agreements ratified?
Associate Director Zucker.
Thank you, Trustee Buck. So I will say that in my tenure, we have not. The agreements necessarily have the impact that they seem to be having with regards to class size. I'd say that that's the biggest driver of the changes in the system priority funding. So again, last year we were in a position where we were having to make a lot of assumptions because we didn't have a lot of the information, because actually the agreements for September 1st of this year should have been the ones that we're working on right now. So I guess technically last year we were in the same position. But the assumptions that we're making are based on guidance from the ministry with regards to where they think that we will land. And again, we would only be in a position where we would be adding. In most cases, when we would be adding, we would be expecting to receive additional funding because we would just be following the collective agreements. And since it's negotiated centrally, our expectation as a board is that if it's negotiated centrally, then the ministry would be paying for it.
Okay, thank you for that, Associate Director. I asked that just because this is so, from my perspective, it seems unique. So it's good to know that it isn't completely unique, that last year was in some ways kind of the same. Maybe it prepped us for this year, got us ready for the challenges of budget season. Other than that, I wondered, what are some of the things that we can maybe anticipate being a factor down the line through this budget process should we have collective agreements still not ratified by the time we come to the end of our budget process?
Thank you, Trustee Buchanan. I would say that all we can do is work with what we have and the guidance that we have. So we would, if there's no collective agreements that have been ratified, we would use prior collective agreements as our
Paul.
Joined.
What we would be expecting. That's the information that we would be using. And again, as they're ratified, if there are changes as a result, then we would expect there to be changes in the funding. And before we have revised the funding partly through the year if changes are made.
Okay, thank you for that, Stacey. No more questions.
Thank you, Trustee Buck. Welcome, Trustee Tutt. I just heard you come into the meeting. Just a reminder that the meeting is being recorded and will be posted tomorrow for the public. And a reminder, just for Trustee Tutt's sake, that I will be calling on people for comments and questions and sort of using a rotating order. So if you're asked if you have a comment or question, if you can confirm if you do, but also if you don't. Okay, so next I was going to move along to Trustee Galindo. We are on item number 4, Trustee Tutt.
Thank you. Thank you, Trustee Danko. Yeah, I sound like a broken record. That was a lot of information. I recognize that there's a lot of uncertainty in this process. I can only imagine how difficult it's been to work on this under the current circumstances. It probably feels like you're swimming against the current. But I do just want to say thank you to staff and thank you to Associate Director Zucker. The report in front of us is well detailed and thorough. I appreciate that. And I am looking forward to seeing how it evolves in the next couple of weeks and months. I don't have any further questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Trustee Galindo. Trustee Tut, I know you've got hopefully the reports open. Did you have any questions on item number 4, which is school-based staffing?
No question. Thank you.
Thank you. And Trustee Miller, any questions or comments?
No questions. It is, like everyone has already said, a lot. So I just wanted to echo the comments of gratitude just around the work that is happening within the context of the craziest year. So thank you for that. And like Trustee Galindo just mentioned, I'm also interested to see how this kind of evolves as we get more information and hopefully a little bit more clarity. But thank you. That's it for me.
Thank you, Trustee Miller. So again, thank you to staff for working through this and making this very clear and easy to follow for trustees. Again, appreciate that we have a lot of information that we're still waiting on, including the grant to student needs. I'm encouraged to hear that the ministry has indicated they should be providing that by the end of April, and I hope that that timeline happens this year, and that as we move through ratifying collective agreements, we will be making adjustments. So thank you for that. This is an action item, and again, I have selected Trustee Johnstone to move the item. At this point, I will look to see if there are any trustees not in favor of the recommended action. Okay, so hearing none, we will move that and move along to item number 5, which is our 2020-2021 budget development. There is a PowerPoint slide deck to go along with this if you would like to open that from your emails as well. And Associate Director Zucker, I'll turn that over to you.
Thank you, Chair Danko, and I'll give everybody a second again to open it. And I just want to echo the comments of Steve. This is a challenging and very unique circumstances to be working in. And I just want to commend Denise and her team for the work that they've been doing. It really is incredible. Although we're in a position where we're all sort of working in conditions that are not business as usual, currently the ministry deadlines are expecting business as usual, so we are doing the best that we can to make sure that we are able to adhere to those deadlines. So, again, I just, while you're opening it, want to express my gratitude to Denise and her team. It really, truly is appreciated, and they've been doing a remarkable job on staying on top of everything. So I'll get right into the presentation, and it is very high level, and I want to give you a little bit of context on the assumptions that we're making, and two, just where we are in the process and what you can expect to see in the coming weeks. So I'm going to skip the slide number 2, just sort of outlining what you'll see on the next few slides. So we'll move to slide 3, and it's talking about the GSN, or the Grant for Student Needs. Right now, we do not have an indication from the ministry when we'll receive the GSN. We're hoping by the end of the month. We have indicated for sure that they will not be meeting their target of April 15th, which had changed from their target at the end of March. So we're working with the assumption, and this was confirmed recently through the directors, that it is the correct assumption to be using, so that's good news, that the GSN will be in line with what we received last year. So we've been working with a 0% increase or decrease, and so that's good news for us, that that's what they are also recommending to directors that boards moving forward in the process should be using. So obviously there will be collective agreement changes, and so for those that we've worked through already and they have assigned, say, percentage increases in salaries, we've included those increases for our caretaking and maintenance staff, but we've also included an increase in revenue to correspond with those changes. Slide 4, there are two components, really, of the grants. One of them is the GSN and how much we will receive for each section, and it's usually on a per pupil amount. So that makes our enrollment very important. As trustees know, there are two count dates October 31st and March 31st. Those are the FTE in those count dates, and then the average daily enrollment is the average of those two count dates. And the average daily enrollment is what the ministry uses, what we use to calculate our total grant based on the GSN. So our enrollment budget projections are really important for us, one, because it determines our staffing, and two, because it determines our grants. I'll give kudos to Dave and his planning staff, and then also the SOSOs and the principals who really worked with the enrollment projections on a school-by-school basis in order to make sure that they are as accurate as possible. And as Turkey saw this year, we've done a pretty good job of projecting our enrollment. So what we do is we use the planning numbers, and we adjust very in limited cases based on discussions with principals, based on actual enrollments that are coming in and what principals know about their communities. The only thing that I will say in secondary is that we usually estimate our number of visa students, and we've decreased that estimate for next year based on the situation that the world is in right now. We are only accounting for the visa students that are currently here that we're planning on staying for next year. If we do get additional visa students, then again, that increases our funding through their tuition fees, and we will be able to increase other expenses accordingly if we have to. The next slide is slide number 5, and we talked about staffing. Again, for elementary, there's no change in class size. For secondary, we're using 23-1, which is conservative, and we will be able to add back. And for the PPFs, we're not including these positions unless we have confirmation of the funding. And hopefully, again, when we receive the GSN at the end of April, we will also receive the PPF funding. I know last year, it was June in some cases when we were receiving confirmation of funding, so we're hoping that that's not the case again this year. But again, just like last year, as we received the funding, then we have corresponding expenditures related to staffing. And so from a budget perspective, it isn't as big a deal because we just increased our expenses, increased our revenues, and the two match. So there's no impact on the overall budget. From a staffing perspective, it makes things difficult because if somebody were to apply and be successful for a teen PPS position, then we have to just go through the process of them filling their position and then whoever gets their position until we get down to a new person coming into the position. So obviously, from a staffing perspective, the sooner that we know about these, the better. The other thing that happens is, in some cases where we don't have confirmation, we are declaring people redundant in their positions, and then the positions open up again, and they usually reapply for those positions. So it does make it difficult, but it is the right thing to do from a budget perspective, because if we didn't receive that funding, it would be over budget by the position. And we have over 20 positions that are funded by PPS. The last slide number 6, is just some information for trustees about some of the budgeting assumptions that we've been making as we move to the overall budget position is expected to be, is that for those budgets that we have balanced the envelopes with funding in the past, we have continued to do this. And I give the example of the school foundation grant where it calculates how much money we'll receive for principals, then we have allocated principals accordingly. In the same way, school office administration, we've done that as well. And in cases where there is no balancing per se, we've kept the budget the same as prior years. We know that the revenue is going to be the same. We've always based our budgets on our priorities, so we would expect that if our priorities haven't changed, so that our budgets shouldn't change significantly from year to year.
But we are at the same time going through the process of looking at the spending in the, each account over the last 3 to 5 years, and then comparing it to if it's been consistently underspent. We're having discussions with that department to make sure that it is over budgeted for, and then can make changes accordingly. So we're going through that process right now. So there is a lot going on behind the scenes, and as you can imagine, what used to be Denise looking at something and maybe getting up and having a conversation with somebody is now trying to schedule time to talk to them remotely. So it does take a little bit more time, but we are, based on the assumptions, working through the process. And we are, even though the timing is similar to last year, we really aren't in the same position, because there were a number of things that happened last year that made it more difficult. One, we had declining enrollment. Two, it was the reduction of local priorities amount. And three, we had more school consolidations that were happening at the same time, which impacted and created reductions in staffing. So this year's budget, although it's being done in unique circumstances, will not be as impactful as previous year's budget, or last year's budget in particular. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that. And again, you know, thank you for the entire team working through all of the challenges, not just given information that we don't yet have and therefore assumptions we have to make, but also working through processes in the unique times that we're in. So I will go through the list again. I'm just rotating through. I'm going to start with Trustee Tutt. Do you have any comments or questions for this item?
No, I don't. Thank you.
Thank you. Trustee Buck?
No questions. I just want to acknowledge, just as Don did, that that's incredible, the number of hurdles you guys have, not only just getting the work done, but doing it without all the information you need, and then doing it remotely. So thank you for sticking with it. I know these are not easy days, but you guys are doing an incredible job.
Thank you. Trustee Galindo.
Thank you. I don't have any questions about this report. Thank you.
Trustee Johnstone.
Thanks. Just echoing the words of Trustee Buck and Trustee Tutt.
And Trustee Miller.
No questions for me, but thank you to everyone again.
Well, thank you. So this is not an action item, so we don't need to vote. We'll move along to item 5.1, which was added when we approved the agenda, and that's just looking at finance and facility meeting times. So we will continue to have almost weekly meetings for finance and facilities committee as we are in the budget development phase of our yearly cycle. And the question arose in the current situation where work may be changed for a number of people. Would committee members be interested in moving our meeting time any earlier, or would you like to keep it at 5:30 p.m.? So I'll just go through the list to get feedback from trustees. If I could start with Trustee Buck.
The current time works well for me. Personally, I'm juggling trustee work with my day job, plus becoming a teacher of sorts to my kids. So the evening does work better, but I can accommodate another time if it works best for the majority of the committee.
Thank you, Trustee Buck. Trustee Galindo.
Thank you, Trustee Danko. 5:30 works for me. I am working from home now, so I am more flexible with if we do have the desire to move the hours around. I think as of right now, I'm okay with 5:30, but I'm open to other ideas if it's needed.
Thank you. Trustee Johnstone.
Similar, 5:30 works for me. However, I'm flexible at this point. Thank you.
And Trustee Tutt?
Yeah, I echo the same sentiment as my fellow trustees. I can do 5:30. I'm working remotely as well. But if need be, I can accommodate earlier as well.
Thank you. Trustee Miller, you're not a committee member, so I'm not going to ask you to chime in. But I don't mean to leave you out either. Can I maybe propose that if, let me throw out the idea, would 5 o'clock be a possibility for trustees that feel the evening works best and they're juggling working remotely at home and managing children as well in some cases? Would a 5 o'clock slightly earlier start work for people or not? So I'm going to go through again. I apologize. Trustee Buck, would 5 o'clock be okay?
I can make 5 o'clock work, yes.
Trustee Galindo?
Would this be effective the next meeting? Is that what we're thinking?
That would be the plan.
5 o'clock works for me as well.
Trustee Johnstone?
Yes, 5 o'clock works. I'd be fine with having the female there too, just to, I guess, to facilitate this.
Okay, one more trustee. So I'll go to Trustee Tutt and see if 5 o'clock is a possibility.
That works. Thank you.
Okay, so I will follow up with staff and with committee members regarding the time. And if there's another option or opportunity for a shift, we can look at that. But I think this balances people's needs for keeping this in the evening, but allows us to move it up a little bit. Thank you for that. With that, we are going to adjourn from public session, and I will have, let's see, Trustee Tutt, you're going to move into Committee of the Whole private session for the Education Act, Section 207.2B. At this time, I will ask if any trustees are not in favor of closing or adjourning the session and moving into private session. Okay,
sorry,
so
I'm going to have to do a parliamentary inquiry, if that's okay.
Sure.
Sorry, and I hate – sorry, we just moved past this topic, but I just wanted to – just a follow-up question to changing the meeting times to 5 o'clock. I think my understanding is that that would be the case under the current circumstances of COVID-19. If things do go back to normal in September, I would assume, would meetings then remain at 5 o'clock, or would we look at moving back to 5:30? I apologize for bringing that topic up again.
No, that's a great question. This would just be in the current situation that we're in for COVID-19, people working remotely. As soon as, if any trustee had a conflict that is a committee member, we would adjust the time to make sure that they could attend the meeting. So if at any point we had to move back to 5:30, we would do that.
Perfect. And I guess the parliamentary inquiry was, did we need a vote on that, or I guess not?
No. We do not.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay.
Back to you.
Trustee Tutt is moving that we go into private session. And so at this point, I'm going to ask trustees, no one was opposed to that, so we will do that. But I'm going to ask trustees to hang up from this call. This is our public session that's being recorded, and wait 5 minutes and perhaps take a quick break and join us back in for private session, if you can dial back in about 5 minutes. Any questions? You can chime in if you need to. Hearing none, I will adjourn this part of the session and talk to you shortly.
Gail MacDonald.
Left.